My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today, in today's gospel, we have a continuation of the scene in which our Lord is interacting with and speaking with the Pharisees who had brought to him the woman caught in adultery and presented her publicly to our Lord in order to put him to the test, and as it were, to put him on trial, to see whether he could get out of the trap that they had laid for him. And in the dialogue we hear today, it strikes me somewhat as what you might hear an excellent lawyer saying at the end of a trial, the concluding statement that is intended to draw the jury to the desired judgment. Our Lord is giving the Pharisees testimony of his identity and his divinity, as it were. For two times in this particular excerpt from chapter 8 of the Gospel of St. John, he makes reference to himself as I am. I am is the name of God given to Moses when the Lord spoke from the burning bush, and Moses said, well, who should I say that is telling me to do this? And he said, I am who am. So our Lord is using these words, and the Pharisees are not ignorant of this, although they don't perceive the entire truth of what our Lord is saying. They don't realize that he's identifying himself with the Father. They can't fail to understand those words. Our Lord says, you belong to this world, but I do not belong to this world. That is why I told you that you will die in your sins. And then later, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will realize that I am, and that I do nothing on my own, but I say only what the Father taught me. As I said, the Pharisees were trying to catch Jesus in a trap, and the trap is this dilemma. It's actually a multidimensional dilemma. On the one hand, there's the problem of the law, because there's the law of the Moses, and then there's the law of the Roman Empire. And the law of Moses clearly requires that the woman be put to death. That's what the law of Moses says for this crime. At the same time, the Roman law reserves to the empire the right to put someone to death. Only the Romans can pass a judgment condemning someone to death. And so if the Lord obeys the Roman law, then he puts himself in contradiction with the Mosaic law, of which he himself is the author. He gave the law of Moses. So if he denies that, it's as though he's denying his divinity. But if he says put her to death, then he makes himself a criminal in the eyes of the Roman Empire. But then there's a deeper moral dilemma, which is one that to this day we struggle to understand. And that is the dilemma between mercy and justice. Now, our Lord has presented himself as merciful. And so if he says that she should be condemned to death, people will say, well, I thought you were merciful. Where's the mercy in this? On the other hand, he's also just, and God is just. So if he says to let her go, he'll be in contradiction in that way. So it's a trap that they've set. And of course, if our Lord were a mere man, he would have been hard-pressed to respond. And yet, he rises above this. He perfects the law, and in his response, he breaks no law and fulfills the law of love that he has come to give. Not only that, but our Lord is establishing in this discourse the law of salvation, which is, you must believe in me. For if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And this is a new law that he gives. And it's the dilemma that the world faces, or the choice, rather. Since Jesus revealed himself and died on the cross and rose again, all his words are fulfilled. And in every generation, men and women have a choice to make. We have to choose between God, our Lord Jesus Christ specifically, or the world. The world is very apparent and seductive, and it's very immediate. We're corporal beings, and so very easily we're swayed and attracted by the material beauty and pleasures of the world. And yet, for us Christians, we've been given the gift of faith to know that Jesus Christ is God and our only Savior. And yet we still struggle between these two attractions. Ultimately, however, there is no contradiction in our Lord's teaching, and he told us, you cannot serve two masters. Many Christians are marginal in their faith and marginal in their practice. Many go to the grave never having truly, at least as would be evident to us, because God knows what's in the heart, but it would appear that many die without ever really having lived the consecration of baptism. When we become baptized, we become inserted in Christ. We become consecrated to God. And though we are in the world, we are no longer of the world. We belong to God. And yet, the world, which even to this day has been shaped, at least the Western world, more by the influence of the Catholic faith than any other factor in the 2,000 years since Christ, even to this day, people still are confused about what it means to be a Christian, and that there is a radical choice that has to be made. And so, brothers and sisters, let us understand these words of our Lord. He tells us clearly that unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And if we believe that he is God, then we have to dedicate ourselves to him, not only in our occasional thoughts, in our moments of religious fervor, but we have to make a concrete decision to follow him always, which then puts us in contradiction with the world. Our Lord came as a sign of contradiction, and we who belong to him also become signs of contradiction if we are true to our faith. And that's what we're called to be. And when we do that, then we can be confident that our Lord will always be with us and support us in the struggle and bring us to glory through the cross that he himself mounted in order to save us. And too, we, through our witness, will be sources of salvation for others who will see this sign and be attracted to Christ through our witness. The consecration of baptism is our Christian identity, and to fortify it, we have all of the sacraments. We have the church, which ministers to our needs, which gives us a place to live out this faith in the world. And we have also a wonderful gift. Not only did our Lord give us his mother as our own, but we have the opportunity to fortify our baptismal consecration by becoming consecrated to the Blessed Virgin Mary. St. Louis de Montfort says very clearly and simply that the spirit of the world is against the spirit of Christ, and the spirit of Christ is against the spirit of the world. And that's the whole point of this discourse today, in today's gospel. So, if a soul is not yet consecrated to the Blessed Virgin Mary and struggling against the seductions of the world, there remains yet that aid that can be found. And I encourage all to consider and to make the consecration and so have this extra assistance in resisting the tide of the world that's passing away and prepare for a life in union with Christ, ever greater union. May Our Lady help us, especially in this time as we seek to purify ourselves of the spirit of the world and prepare to unite with our Lord in the celebration of his resurrection. Praise be Jesus and Mary.